Good evening.
Good evening.
We have something special that is planned for next
Sunday. Let me start all over. We have something special planned for next Sunday. In fact, I was able to talk to him as late as this afternoon. How many of you remember Mike Johnson? Anybody? Wasn't he a great, or isn't he a great guy? Mike was one of our ministers, back to our youth minister, back in the late 70s and early 1980s. And Mike had a desire, a passion, really, to preach. And so he left us, if you remember, and went to Arnold, Missouri, where he stayed for about 5 years and preached there. And then from Arnold, Missouri, he went to Richmond, Kentucky. And he is still the local gospel preacher for the Lord's Church in Richmond, Kentucky. He and Rebecca have raised their children. You'll remember Stephanie was just about a year old whenever they were here. Stephanie is now an adult. She's married. She herself has a child, Mike and Rebecca's first grandchild, a boy. And then, of course, Mike and Rebecca had two more children, twins, a son and a daughter. Well, next Sunday morning, they're going to be in the area for Making Music over at Fried Hardeman on Friday night and then Saturday. So on Sunday, Mike has agreed to come and be with us, and he'll be preaching for us on Sunday morning. And as an added treat, Rebecca is going to be here, as is Stephanie and her son, as is the twins. So the entire family will be here on Sunday morning. And I know that, or I hope that you're as excited about seeing them as I am. Mike and I, many miles, would travel back and forth to Nashville with Paul Daugherty, who was preaching at Crescent at the time, Lance Cordell, who was preaching at Atwood at the time. We'd go to school together. We'd stop to get Crystal hamburgers together. And we just had a marvelous time bonding together as brothers in Christ. He did a great job in our community, connecting with various folks and young people. And I know that you're looking forward to seeing him next Sunday morning to preach for us. Tonight, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We'll answer this question. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This morning we saw that man is the composite of two beings in one. There is an outward man, the physical, the body, and it's decayed. But then there's the inner man, the spiritual, the soul, and it's renewed day by day when it's nurtured properly. The Holy Spirit refers to this inner man as the soul or the spirit, or as we saw this morning, as the heart. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, the inner man, for they shall see God." Jesus said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the inner man, the mouth speaks." The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, says, "If our heart, the inner man, does not condemn us, we have peace with God." And so you have this inner man, the spiritual heart, to which the New Testament gives so much attention. In reality, the heart exists for one basic purpose. When the heart is in danger, that purpose cannot be adequately fulfilled, and thus the body itself is in danger. And so when you address biological heart problems, when you undergo biological heart surgery, you hope for and expect one thing: blood flow. If you're addressing the infection that has increased the fluid between the pericardium, the sac, the heart sac, and the heart itself, you're doing it so that the fluid will be released and the heart will be able to constrict and pump properly so that the blood once again will flow as it ought. If you're addressing blockage of vessels that are feeding blood to the heart, you're doing so that once again blood will flow to the heart, through the heart, and then back through the system. Blood flow is what it's all about. Equally so tonight, when you address the problems of one's spiritual heart, something wonderful happens. Once again, the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior, can be as effective as it ought to be. Blood flow. Just by means of introduction, it might interest you to know that 8% of your body weight is from your blood. That means if you weigh 200 pounds like Lynn O'Brien, then you have 16 pounds of that as nothing but blood. Was I off a little bit? You're not going to say, are you? When you're 21 days old, the Lord has made us in a way so that after 21 days from conception, the heart begins to beat. And it beats at a rate of some 70 to 80 times a minute. As we reach adulthood, once again, the heart beats about 70 to 80 times a minute, unless the body deserves more blood because of digestive needs from eating or because of needs due to exercise. But for some 70 to 80 times a minute, the heart restricts, the heart pumps, and blood flows. About 1.3 gallons of blood flowing through veins and arteries and capillaries that join together, veins and capillaries. If you were to take every artery, every vein, every capillary joining together, the arteries and the veins, and one by one stretched them out, they would span anywhere from 60 to 100,000 miles. All of those vessels in one body, strategically placed, being fed by blood. There for one reason, blood flow. As you look at blood, there are four basic components. There is a liquid component that is somewhat yellow in color. About 98% water, but it's known as plasma. And in this liquid plasma, flowing with the blood, as part of the blood, you have three types of blood cells. And all three of them do something differently. Tonight, as we think about the blood of Jesus flowing into my life and yours, blessing us spiritually, I would like for us to make a comparison between these different kinds of blood cells, what they do, and what the blood of Jesus can do for us. Bear in mind, if I have heart trouble spiritually, if my spiritual heart will not pump properly because it's being infected by the cares, riches, and pleasures of this world, if my spiritual heart is being deprived of blood because of blockages caused from a critical attitude, or calls from prejudice, or calls from passion, or then all of the nutrition that comes from the blood cannot feed me spiritually. And I'm in trouble due to a want of blood flow. There are leukocytes, erythrocytes, and thrombocytes. Those are the three kinds of blood cells that, suspended in this liquid form called plasma, make their way through the blood to all of the system. First of all, there are leukocytes. Leukos, the Greek word for white. Cytes, cell. Leukocytes, white blood cells. White blood cells mainly are the cleansing agents of the blood. The white blood cells travel suspended in this liquid substance called plasma and go through the body, and in doing so, they cleanse the body of cell debris. Abrient cells, and they even attack pathogens that cause infection. And so white blood cells are part of the blood that allow for the blood to cleanse the body. Can you see the comparison that can already be made? As we think about Jesus Christ and His shed blood, it is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses. There's the Bible word justification, justified, just if I'd never sinned. I can stand before God tonight and be just as if I never did what I should not have done. That is a marvelous thought. Justification. Nothing that I do in and of myself makes that possible. Yes, I can believe in God. Yes, I can quote the Bible. Yes, I can do what the Bible says. Yes, I can do what the Bible says and even be immersed for the remission of my sins. But it is not the knowledge of the Bible or the obedience of the Bible that in and of itself allows for me to be just as if I'd never sinned. Justification doesn't come from that. It comes from the blood of Jesus Christ. Being therefore justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him, we read in Romans 5, verse 9. Now here's an interesting point. When you look at Romans 5, the chapter begins with verse 1. Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God. I'm just as if I'd never sinned before God, and at peace with God because of faith. But it's not my faith alone that makes that possible. 8 verses later, being therefore justified by His blood, we're saved from the wrath of God through Him. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses. When my faith is the kind of faith that it ought to be. In Romans chapter 5, I find myself in a contextual flow that takes me back to Romans 4, where reference is made to the faith of Abraham. We are to walk in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham. Romans 4:12 says, by faith Abraham obeyed. Simply put, Abraham had a faith that obeyed. I'm to have a faith like Abraham. I'm to have a faith that obeys. When I have a faith that obeys, I have peace with God. Not because I have a faith that obeys. The peace with God comes because my faith obeys, and at that moment, the blood becomes effective in my life. And it's the blood that cleanses. Thus 1 John chapter 1 verse 7 says, if we keep on walking in the light, as He, God, is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, keeps on cleansing us from all sin. I've said it before, but I really believe with our history as a people, it deserves repeating. The blood of Jesus keeps on cleansing us. That means if I sin and don't know it, the blood of Jesus is there cleansing me.
That means if I sin and I know it, in keeping with 1 John chapter 1, my attitude towards sin being right, I confess it, the blood of Jesus is there continually cleansing me. Therefore, as I continue to walk in the light, as God is in the light, with the right attitude towards sin, I stay in a perpetual state of forgiveness. Yes, I'm forgiven. And that's why I'm assured of going to heaven. I'm going to heaven because I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven because the blood of Jesus keeps on cleansing me. Is that good news? That's great news, isn't it? The blood of Jesus makes that possible. And so on the day of judgment, as one who has walked in the light with the right attitude towards sin, I will stand before Jesus as one who has sinned. I will stand before Jesus as one who didn't do it perfectly, but was made perfect by the blood. And I'll stand before Jesus, and listen to me, there will not be one bad thing Jesus will have to say. Because everything that I have ever done that was wrong has already been cleansed. That means the day of judgment is a day of rejoicing for me. As I hear Jesus talk to me about all the good that I have done and none of the bad that I have done, because the blood has kept me clean. That's a wonderful thought. That's what the blood of Jesus offers. There's this word remission as well when it comes to our being cleansed by the blood. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7, we read, in Him, Jesus, we have our redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. In Him we have our redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins. The word forgiveness, same word translated remission in root form in Acts 2 verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. We've heard it forever and a day, thankfully. It means to be liberated. It means to be free. When I change the way I think in repentance, and when I'm immersed in water the way the Bible teaches, my sins, I am freed from all of the guilt that my sins brought. I am liberated from. That's the word forgiveness in Ephesians 1. Being therefore redeemed by His blood, we have forgiveness, remission, freedom from the guilt of our past. The blood of Jesus makes that possible. When I yield to the great physician Jesus the Christ, and I properly address heart disease, the blood of Jesus once again flows freely. Here I am, clean, with that blood effective in my life. Not only does the blood of Jesus cleanse, it does something else. When you think about your own blood and mine, there are not only white blood cells, but there's another blood cell that has a color too. Remember what kind that is? Red blood cells. Red blood cells. Red blood cells are cells that have the ability to have oxygen attached to them. And so the red blood cells are responsible for oxygen being carried via the blood through the system. Now you remember we said this morning there are four chambers of the heart. There's the right atrium, the right ventricle, the left atrium, the left ventricle, and it goes this way. Your blood comes into the right atrium of your heart, and it's tainted. It's tainted with carbon dioxide that it has picked up as it is circulated through the system. It is because of the contraction push from the right atrium through a valve into the right ventricle. And from the right ventricle, as the heart continues to contract or pump through a valve, it is pumped out of the right ventricle into the lungs. And so here's the blood in the vessels that are associated with the lungs. And there, something beautiful transpires. Do this. You do that with me? Now do this. When you exhale, the lungs are expelling carbon dioxide that has come through the blood. And when you inhale, you are oxygenating the blood. Once the blood has been rid of carbon dioxide and then impregnated once again with oxygen through the pumping process, the blood goes from the lungs into the left atrium, then by pumping through a valve into the left ventricle, and then through pumping through a valve back into the body as saturated blood, oxygenated, ready to give life. And so the blood with the red corpuscles or the red blood cells carries oxygen to the blood and the tissue of the body. And at the same time, it picks up waste, such as carbon dioxide, from the body. It carries. The same thing can be said about the blood of Jesus. It is a transport system. In fact, it takes me to some place and it takes me away from some place. The blood of Jesus, for example, is that by which I am taken to fellowship with God. If we turn to Romans chapter 2, one of my favorite verses of all the Bible, Romans chapter 3, rather, verse 23 and following. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Bad news. Being justified, never sinned, justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set for us forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness. Here I am, I have sinned, verse 23. I am less than what God wanted me to be, verse 23. But I don't have to be that way. I can be just as if I never sinned, verse 24. I can be redeemed, verse 24. And verse 25, that process is called, this big word, propitiation. That simply means atonement. Atonement. Now let's spell atonement. What's the first letter? A. T. O-N-E-M-E-N-T. Atonement. What are the first two letters? A-T. What does that spell? At. What are the next three letters? What are they? O-N-E. What does that spell? One. Now you've got what atonement means. At one. Atonement means at one with God again. That's propitiation. The wrath of God is satisfied and He is willing to be in fellowship with, at one with me again. Not because of faith. God set Jesus forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith. You take "by His blood" out of the passage and you have "as a propitiation through faith." But now that which cleanses, that which makes me one with God, that which carries me back to God is gone. And here I am on my own merit trying to reconnect. And that just doesn't happen. I cannot be lead strong enough to be one with God. I can't memorize enough Bible to be one with God. I can't go to church enough to be one with God. I am one with God because of the shed blood of Jesus the Christ. He's the one that makes that possible. His blood cleanses me and therefore carries me back into fellowship with God. As I am being carried to God, the blood of Jesus also carries me away from something else. And thus Hebrews chapter 10 bears reference to the blood of the covenant by which we are sanctified, set apart. And so here I am, the blood of Jesus cleanses me and sets me apart from the world as one that is set back into fellowship with God. I am special because of the blood. There's a third element, or third kind of blood cell in our blood. And that's something called thrombocytes. Thrombos, clotting cytes, cell. These are the blood cells that allow for clotting. We call them platelets. And because of the platelets that, along with white blood cells and red blood cells, are suspended in this liquid called plasma, circulating through our system at a rate of about 10 miles an hour, every 20 seconds circulation transpires. Because of these platelets, thrombocytes, the blood clots. So whenever I'm cut, I bleed, but then ultimately the bleeding stops if the cardiovascular system is healthy. The bleeding stops. And then something marvelous begins to happen. I start to heal. There's a reconnection of tissue, all because of the thrombocytes in my blood. The clotting factor of the blood. Years ago, when in Alabama, I taught a young adult class, and we were talking about the body as evidence of God's existence. And I asked a dear friend of mine, a general surgeon, Bob Walker, now an elder in the church, to come to class and said, "Bob, I want you to talk to us about the one facet of the body that intrigues you the most as a physician and surgeon." I didn't tell him what to talk about. I just gave him an overview of what I wanted him to address. Well, he got up and he said, "I could talk about the brain." He discussed briefly neuropaths and such like. He said, "I could talk about the heart and so on." But he said, "To me as a surgeon, that part of the body that intrigues the most, is the most intriguing, is the body's ability to heal itself." Now, if I were to take a knife and rip through the paint on this table and cut a groove into the side, in 3 months we come back, if it hasn't been repaired and painted over, the groove is still going to be there and the paint is still going to be chipped. Unless someone comes and does something about it. But if you take that same knife and you rip open the skin, in 3 months, if the cardiovascular system is healthy, there is no groove, the tissue has reconnected, the healing process is complete, platelets make that possible. And so the blood connects. So it is with the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus connects. The blood of Jesus connects me to Jehovah God. The Bible word for that is reconciliation. Equally so, the blood of Jesus connects me to everybody else that is connected to God. The Bible word for that is cooperation. So we turn to Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, we began reading with about verse 10. Ephesians 2, verse 10, or verse 11. Remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision made in flesh by hands, that at that time you, uncircumcised Gentiles, were without Christ, being away from ones, aliens, from the commonwealth of Israel, and foreigners, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. No God, no connection with those who were gods, who belong to God. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off, Gentiles, have been brought near. Brought near to whom? Brought near to God. Brought near to those who belong to God. By the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made both Jew and Gentile one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. That He might reconcile them both, Jew and Gentile, to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. He came and preached peace to you who are far off and to those who are near. For through Him, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit to the Father. So I'm reconciled by the blood of Jesus to God. You are reconciled by the blood of Jesus to God. I'm connected to God. You're connected to God by the blood of Jesus. And by that same agent, we are connected to each other. So we are together, and we are together with God because of the connecting agent of His blood. Now, when I have heart problems, when my fellowship or relationship with God is in danger, I don't need to go to the mind. I don't need to go to my own merit. I don't need to go to my personal prowess. When my relationship with God is in danger, I need to go to the blood. I need to get right back to Jesus the Christ, thinking about Jesus the Christ, thinking like Jesus the Christ, relying on Jesus the Christ. And when I think like Jesus, and you think like Jesus, and together we rely on Jesus, and we are connected to God because of Jesus, guess what? Our bond is made stronger too. When there's friction between me and you, I must rely on the blood of Christ to heal that. I need to start thinking like Christ, relying on His blood. You must do the same. And that heals. Not because of who we are, but because of who He is and what He has done. We sing it often. What can wash away my sin? What's the answer? The first word is what needs to be emphasized. Nothing. Nothing but the blood. Take away the blood and everything else fails. That's why heart problems are so dangerous. When the heart begins to fail, the blood can't flow. And as Moses said in Leviticus, the life is in the blood. And if the blood can't flow and do what the blood is designed to do, the body's in danger. So we need to get back to thinking about and telling others about the blood. I find it of interest that what the blood of Jesus is said to do, baptism is said to do. Why so much to do over baptism? Because of what baptism does. It puts me in contact with the blood of Christ. For example, you were washed, sanctified, justified. We are just as if we had never sinned. We are sanctified, set apart from the world when we are washed. But we've already seen verses that tell us it's the blood that justifies. It's the blood that sanctifies. And it's the blood that cleanses. What baptism is said to do, the blood is said to do. And here's why. Baptism is the when. Blood is the how. I contact the blood of Christ when bathed by my faith. I am immersed the way the Bible teaches. And at that moment of baptism, the blood begins to flow freely to me, through me, connecting me with God as one who is cleansed. Nothing will shed or take away the sins of your past. Nothing will take away the guilt that you feel from your past. Except the blood of Jesus. And with it, you're never guilty. As long as you walk in the light. That's the good news I have to share with you tonight. If that blood needs to flow into your life, His invitation is yours as we stand together and sing.